This is the sound of second chances. It's more than a bowl of pet food. It's nutrition that changes lives. It's the sound of healthy, happy pets. Not just in your home, but in shelters across the country. Because feeding your pet Hills helps feed shelter pets. Science did that. Hills Pet Nutrition. Buy the bag that gives back. Visit hillspet.com/giveback or tap the banner to learn more.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this first day of May 2024, folks. And wow, this year is going by pretty quick. And of course, tonight, our producer is the very capable young Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor. How are you?
I'm doing good tonight. We're ready to roll. And, of course, tonight we have way out with us there, the legend, none other than the parson, Joe Larson.
Well, if you mean that God-fearing, Bible-believing, flag-waving, gun-owning, Constitution-loving patriot, that's me.
That sure beats the Missouri hillbilly, don't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
One and the same, you know. You can wear two hats.
All right. Okay, listen. We got to get into the message tonight. That's very, very serious, right?
Yes, it is. And it was called Believe, Act, and Receive.
So let's pick it up in, how about in 1 John chapter 4?
All right. Do you want to go all the way 1 through 6?
Yeah, then we'll go back and we'll take it verse at a time, okay?
All right. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come of the flesh, is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
All right, let's go back to verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Well, you know, he's referring to one of the things that we do before we have someone come and address the church, speak. We got to make sure that, you know, where they're coming from, what spirit they have. Now, when he's talking about the spirit of truth, that's referring to what in particular?
Well, the spirit of truth would be the Holy Spirit.
That's right. when the spirit of error is?
Of Satan.
Absolutely. So here, so we want to make sure what spirit they have there. Now, when he says there are many false spirits that are going out into the world, even back then you have a lot of false spirits. Today, we're going to get to a number of these, but I watched Kenneth Copeland, and I truly believe Kenneth Copeland is demon-possessed. I really believe he's got demons in him. And here, when you watch these people, and Jesse Duplantis...
Oh, he's got to have demon possession. I mean, Jesus coming to talk to him, and he gives Jesus a hug. I mean, the guy's worse off than Biden.
Yeah, but here's the worst part. You look, and he's talking to thousands of people have come, and he's out there, and he's telling these people that Jesus every now and then stops in his office and sees him. Now listen, in the body, bodily stops in and sees him. And then he said in the past that Jesus will ask him for advice or an opinion.
That's the part you know right there. There is no way. I mean, it's beyond conceivability that God is going to need to ask any of us our opinion. He created the universe, everything in it, the physical, metaphysical laws, everything. And he needs our advice? Oh, come on.
Well, I just heard him say that how Jesus had came and he looked very tired.
And
Jesse says to him, come over here and let me hug up on you a little bit and tell me. And Jesse comforted Jesus, folks. Now, here's the bad part about it. There's these people, and here you got this large crowd of people, and these people are falling for this stuff, just like you do with Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland. It's an amazing thing. And all of these people there, and you see these thousands of people, and you know they're on a fast track to hell. They have no idea what salvation is all about, okay?
You think they went to school at the Tavistock Institute, you know?
Yeah. He says this, hereby know you the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Now here, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. Now, those names have meaning. Jesus means Jesus means Jehovah, our Savior. Jehovah, our Savior. But
Jehovah
the Christ,
saves.
Right,
Yeshua.
The Christ means the Anointed One, meaning God's anointed prophet, God's anointed priest, God's anointed king, okay? And so here, unless they confess this, now, many of them will confess that Jesus is the Son of God, but not God the Son, okay? So they'll say that, you know, the way they teach it is that Christ is simply his last name. No. So here, if you've got the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, you've got one of the sects of the Seventh-day Adventists, especially, they deny that Jesus is the Creator. They believe he was a created thing, that God created him and let him create the worlds and the planets. But that's not what the Bible teaches at all.
Scripture plainly says begotten, and begotten means coming forth from. The physical came forth from the Spirit.
Well, not only that, but if you go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, he tells you, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Was God, right.
Okay, so here you have the Trinity from the very, they're pre-existing. Christ was pre-existing from the beginning. And so he is not only the Son of God, but he's God the Son. Now, here he is the Creator. He's spoken of as being the Creator all through Scripture. Many of the sect of the Mormons believe that literally Jesus and Satan are brothers, that God created both Jesus and Satan, okay? And many teach that Satan is literally the strongest of the two, but Jesus is the better of the two, Okay. And this, again, this is, again, the spirits that are of Satan. And so, and of course, the Muslims believe that Jesus was the prophet of truth. It's an interesting thing. They call him the prophet of truth, that he would come, Jesus would come wearing a yellow robe, and he would announce he would announce the coming of Allah, that Allah would be coming. And so here, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Well, yeah.
Yeah. Antichrist was Satan, Satan's fall from heaven started, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Well, there are many antichrists. All of those that preach.
Many.
Yeah, right, okay. You saw today, for example, those that preach United Methodist repeal long-standing ban on LGBT to clergy. In other words, they're saying now you can be a sodomite. And they've already had that, where the United Church of the Antichrist, more and more of the so-called pastors are lesbians, pro-abortion lesbians. They have turned the house of God into a den of whores,
An abomination, yeah. We talked about that one church that had the two married lesbians co-pastoring. I mean, they were breaking everything in the Bible, so it wasn't a church. They aren't pastors. It was one big abomination to God.
More and more of them right now, 27% of those in the pulpits now are women, and God's Word, the Bible, strictly forbids that. And out of those...
And it's not a pulpit, and it's not a church. So they're up there as hirelings leading the people astray. They're that synagogue of Satan, right?
Right. And 90% of those women in the pulpits are lesbians.
Yeah.
And so...
Even worse. Yeah.
Right. It's the Jezebel spirit, and it comes, you know, it's right from Satan. He says... You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, obviously.
Amen, The Holy Spirit indwelling in us, right? We are
right.
The temple, our own high priest.
They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. And again, this is what you have out there now. Now more and more of the Democratic Communist Party are literally embracing Satan. You know, they're going away from the socialist gospel to literally embracing the Church of Satan now. They are openly embracing the Church of Satan now. And they go on, he says, he's making a point there. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us, whereby we are the spirit of truth, and they are the spirit of error. And so we see that. Let's turn over to, very quickly, James chapter 1. Let's turn. You know what? We don't have that much time. Yeah, we have time. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1.
Let's start in, 19?
Okay. Let me see. Yep, start with verse 19 through 24.
Through 24, got it. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed.
Okay, so here now, we go back, and when he talks about, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, that means an abundance, Joe, of wickedness. That's what that word means.
Abundance,
and then, yes. And receive with meekness the engrafted. Now, this word here, engrafted right here, Joe, this is the only time this is used in the Bible, right here, this one place. He's referring to, again, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.
Oh, I know what that means. We've been given the Holy Spirit, so we have God dwelling in us. Jesus is the Word, so we have been given the Word, the living Word, engrafted in us, because we are grafted into the family of God through our spiritual rebirth.
Okay. Okay, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Okay, so what does that mean? Look, you get up Sunday morning, you get dressed, you go to church, and you sit there and you listen to the preacher. And so then you say, well, God must be very pleased with me today. I went up and I went to church and I listened to the entire message, okay?
Didn't
so,
even fall asleep, huh?
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Let's just say you had a job, and you had an office job. You worked at your desk. You got up in the morning, you got dressed, and you went to work, and you sat at your desk all day long. Would you think your boss would be happy of you if you were just there sitting at your desk just because you came in?
Yeah, you went to the meeting, got to listen to all the things and read the bulletins and everything, but yeah, didn't do any work. No, he's not going to be happy.
Okay, so what happens is it's the same thing when you go to church. Until you take what you've learned and put it to practical application,
apply
where,
it to your life.
Right, right, right. Well, yeah, to the Lord's work, you're a doer, doer, doer. I've had pastors tell me that, Pastor Sanders, listen, I really appreciate the work you guys do in your ministry out there and going to saving those babies and going to those prisons and all that. But I'm not called to that. I'm not called to that. I'm called. My ministry is simply one of prayer. I'm called to pray. Now, here's something I've noticed over the years. You see, those of us that are called to go out in the streets, get arrested, get thrown in jail often. You know, we're the ones that seem to do more praying than anybody else.
We have to.
Yeah, okay. And so, and these guys that tell me, well, they're just given to pray. You know, Jesus prayed, and after he prayed, what did he do?
He did something. He went out and did something. We hear this all the time. Well, you know, I'm trying to get raise money for the maternity home or for the crisis pregnancy center. Well, I'll pray about it. The ones that say I pray about it are the ones who never give, donate, volunteer. Really, in my life, Scripture makes it clear. Right here, we've got two of the three. It says, "Be a doer of the word." Then over here, it says, "In 25, doer of the work." And elsewhere, it says, "Be a doer of the law." Now, that's pretty clear. Doer of the work, the word, and the law. That's a pretty strong, active statement, isn't it? That's
yeah, it is.
Life-encompassing.
Now, when it says the law, it's not talking about what's legal, but what's lawful.
Right, lawful.
Okay.
God's
and,
law.
And here in this particular, James is referring to the spirit of the law, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so not the letter. So here, be you a doer of the word. Actually, Jesus prayed. Then he raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus prayed. He fed 5,000. Jesus prayed. He calmed an angry sea. And then he prayed and raised himself from the dead, defeated death, and so sin and death and the devil. And so he put feet to his prayers. This is what he's talking about, being a doer of the word.
Exactly. Can I, you know, you just said something there that's so profound. I wonder if the people heard it. Jesus prayed and raised himself from the dead, because we have a triune God, three in one. I mean, who else could pray, answer his own prayer, and raise himself from the dead? Think about it. That's got to be one of those impactive things that should stick in somebody's brain forever and ever and ever. He prayed and then answered his own prayer. Only God can do that.
Well, absolutely. Remember.
But I'll bet most people never thought of that, Pastor Ernie. I'll bet most people that never crossed their mind what you just said is so plain and simple. You said it so just, you know, matter-of-factly. But I think to most people that would be just almost shocking.
Well, people might say, well, we referred to the Father raised him from the dead. Well, how does that work?
Jesus,
the Father gives the marching orders. The Son always carries them out, and the Holy Spirit provides the power. So when the Father says, raise yourself from the dead, Jesus raised himself from the dead. Right.
The order.
Right. And the Holy Spirit.
Said what? The Father and I are one. We're one in the same. We're, you know, joined at the hip, so to speak. The Father, the Son, Holy Spirit are all joined together as one. So it's always the three of them.
Right.
Together.
But from Genesis to Revelation, you always see, you see the chain of command there.
Right, right.
And so, and you know, basically, you know, that's what the family is based upon, the same chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem of it is the rebellion, you know, of man against God's laws.
Oh, yeah. And the wussification of men, where they no longer taking their role in the family.
Absolutely. So then he goes on to say, and it's an interesting thing for...
They've given themselves to the government as their husband, father, provider, so the chain of command is broken, so they're lost.
He goes on to say, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror, a glass, that means a mirror. Now, it's interesting that he uses a man there, because it wouldn't work for a woman, or especially a teenager or a child. You know, when a man will go up, he'll stand in front of that mirror, he'll shave, and he'll look at, you know, and he'll smile at, he, you know, got the whiskers off, and turn around and walk away, and he'll have shaving cream behind his ears. I've had...
seen that before, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, and, you know, when people say, you know, you have shaving cream behind the ear, I say, yeah, that's where I keep it until I need it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but, so what happens is here, with women it's different, you know? I remember in the mornings, and I'd be shaving, and we had the big counter and two sinks, and I'd be shaving, and my wife would be putting on her face, and she would call, I'm going to put on a face. And she would look real close in there. And then I remember a certain teenagers, I'm not going to mention their name because they're not teenagers anymore, but how they had a problem with pimples.
Right, and they would run and check for zits. And
well, they would kind of, they would sneak upon the mirror. They would, you know, kind of, you know, with a, but so, but here it says that he, for behold, a man that goeth his way and forgetteth what manner of man he was. Those are people that are hearers but not doers of the word, okay?
Right.
And so we're going to have to stop right there, and we'll be back right after this. Is our guest with us yet?
Yep.
And we'll be right back. We have a pretty lady guest with us, so be right back after this.
The doctor did our dirty work, so now we pay the bill. We thought he solved our problem, but our life's a living hell. I toss and turn in bed at night, 'cause God, it's hard to sleep. In my heart and in my mind I hear a voice that says to me, you could have took me fishing, Dad. You could have taught me how to swim. I could have made you proud of me. Now I'll never have that chance. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have to die? I never thought of it as right or wrong, but I think about it now. Oh God, I'd give my life if I could just turn time back somehow. I'd let him live and watch him grow. Oh, I'd buy him everything. But now he won't need a ball or bat. He'll never play one game. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have grown into a man. I should have had my chance at life. We could have been the best of friends. Daddy, did I have to die? God, the choice of life belongs to you. It wasn't hers or mine. And I know she feels the same way too. Sometimes I hear her cry. How can we ever be the same or live with what was done? Instead of these two broken hearts, God, we might have had a son. You could have been my hero, Dad. You could have done what daddies do. You could have rode me on your back. You could have taught me to tie my shoes. I could have been your little boy, standing right there by your side. I could have been your pride and joy. Daddy, did I have
No, you didn't. This is why we've been fighting against the forces of darkness all these years. If America would repent, God has set before you life and death. He didn't have to. But that was the very talented Danny Ray, who has been a very, very long time, very good friend of mine. We got a quick prayer request from Jane there in Pennsylvania. Jane, go ahead and tell the folks how they can help you out.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you, Pastor. We are in desperate need of a vehicle. Daniel's recovering very well from his major stroke and brain surgeries, but we really need a car to get around. Plus, we're trying to come back to Geauga County, so prayer for a vehicle would be really great.
All right. Could you give folks out there a phone number where they can contact you?
Absolutely. It's 724-651-0600. 724-651-0603.
All right, I'm gonna actually write that down because we're gonna have maybe people call us tomorrow. One more time,
724-651-0603.
All right, thanks, Jane.
Well, thank you very much, Pastor, and blessings to all of your listeners and you.
God bless you. The same. Already, no.
You know, speaking of blessings, we have a praise report, don't we?
Yeah, Lisa came home today out of the hospital, so Lisa's back home, and I'm making her stay home and rest up until she's well enough to get back to work.
Well, let's see, you're going to make her do what the doctor told you to do that you didn't do yourself. Did I get that right?
Of course. Listen,
of course.
That's who I am,
I
you know.
Say that. Okay. You're one of the more stubborn persons I know. Somebody had to be more stubborn than I am.
Already. So listen, I'll tell you who's not stubborn. And she's got a really nice voice. Her name is Sue Lee Bell. She's the state affairs director for the Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America there in Indiana. And she's here with us right now. Hey, Susan. Are you there? Sue?
Oops. Pushed the wrong button. Hi.
Oh.
Here I am.
Alrighty.
Thanks for having me this evening.
Well, we're glad to have you this evening, and we're going to start right off. I'm going to ask you some hard questions. You ready? Okay.
Yes,
now, the left out there, those that are not on the right, okay, the ones that the Bible says are going to end up bound and tossed into the lake of fire because they've embraced everything that God calls sin. Anyhow, they're trying to put the message out that the number one issue in America today is abortion. And mostly all women are pro-abortion. Most all women think they have a right to kill their baby. Of course, the left says, you know, the left also, they like death by euthanasia. They like death through bioweapons. And, you know, today Bill Gates is working on another new virus that would be targeting children. Oh, they love death by fentanyl. I mean, they love death. So let me ask you this. Do you think that the majority of American women are pro-abortion, or are they convinced that they're supposed to be?
Well, I don't think that the majority are pro-abortion or convinced of anything. I think they're very aware what abortion is, and some still want that that option. But we know that men or women, 7 in 10 people that are polled in America want limits on abortion, certainly to keep us from doing the brutal late-term abortions, to limit it to what first trimester. I'm with you. I don't want to see anybody go through that. I don't want any baby to die. But polling has our country, just like on lots of other issues too, not so sure where they stand on these things. But I don't think it's fair to say at all that women, the majority of women, want abortion.
So you mean to tell me that those people at the mainstream media, at NBC, ABC, CNN, they're not telling us the truth?
They lied to us?
Oh, no.
What do you know?
Oh.
What do you know?
Who would have ever thought, huh? Oh, my gosh. Anyhow, well, you know, but here, we hold to this, to what God's word, the Bible. There's only one source of divine law. I teach biblical law. And that's right here in this King James Bible. And guess what it says? It says abortion is murder. That's what God has proclaimed. He's already passed that. And he says the position is without exception. Without exception. No exceptions. Not for rape, for incest, or life of the mother. That's God's position. And so...
We know that this is in America, well, all over the globe, really. This is a human rights issue. This is not just a state's rights issue, or what the courts say, or federal issue. This is a human rights issue, and we need to approach it like that. I'll tell you one thing, though. If you're talking about biblical truth, and I agree with you very much, sir, on that. I work for Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America, and we are at the end of the day, we're the political arm of the pro-life movement, right? So we're trying to make sure that pro-life people get elected to office so that they make pro-life laws and pro-life decisions. And so that's really our main goal, that and making sure that states are taking care of women and families. But I want to contrast that well, what you're talking about, biblical law and life, with the I'm not trying to be political right now. I'm actually being very factual. The Democrats' position, Democrats in Congress and in many of our state houses, are working to enact legislation to mandate abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. In fact, in the U.S. Congress right now, in the U.S. House, there's a bill called, get this, they call it the Women's Health Protection Act. And what it would do, though, right, sounds good, doesn't it? It would wipe out. It would wipe out all of the state laws that we're seeing. Like, for example, Florida's heartbeat law went into effect today, and other states have banned abortion and at various limits. And if our president, who so relentlessly works to expand abortion in this country, if he is reelected or Democrats are reelected to the House or Senate, we're going to have that legislation that's going to wipe out all of the limits and the regulations and even the health regulations for women. We're going to wipe all that out. It'll be full on game on abortion all across America. And I know that sounds extreme, but it's true. That's so scary.
Joe and I, we've been in this battle for a long time, and we worked back with when they started with the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. Mm-hmm. Joe and I both have a big history. I was with Joe. I'm having a senior moment right now.
Who
was
the lady? Fly.
Yeah, Phyllis Schlafly. Mm-hmm. Got a call from her and she said, "I need your help. Will you help me on this?" And I said, "Count me in." But everyone laughed at us, said we didn't have a chance in the world of stopping that. But we did. Here in Ohio, mm-hmm. we were the first to pass.
You know, they're trying to bring it back now.
Yeah, I know.
ERA back.
I know it.
And they just won't stop.
Yeah, they won't, and it's going to be this way till the Lord returns. And in fact, it's going to get worse as we see this, but. This is where, you know, we are in our stripes, if you will. This is our job to run to this battle, okay? To run a good race, fight a good fight, to stand against. This is wickedness. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and Romans 1 live, real time, right now. And so we're either going to praise the Lord and hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," or we won't. And so that's why we're fighting the way we do. And I praise the good Lord for your organization there. But here now, again, it's for life, period. Not just abortion, but euthanasia. They're targeting. We saw what happened with the elderly people in the nursing homes. And again, the bioweapons, we were the first people, three weeks, Sue, before the first shot was given, we were telling people these are not vaccines, these are bioweapons. And you don't want to take them. Every single test animal died. Do not take them. And, you've seen what the results have been there. But I don't believe for a minute they claim that 60% of the American population received the shot. I don't think it was that anywhere near that. What do you think?
You know, I've got to tell you, I don't know that I have a whole lot of thoughts on that. I'm called by the Lord. That's a story too. But the Lord called me into the pro-life movement and many years ago, and I spend my days and my nights. Like you said, showing up for the battle, and it is a battle for life in this country, and it's a political battle. And a lot of people, I think a lot of Christians too, are just turned off by that. There's a lot of disagreement. There's a lot of vitriol, and the media doesn't help us at all, and it's just uncomfortable. But we've got to stay in the game, and we've got to stand up, you know, for what's right. And we need to be really clear and have to discern, you know, here in America or and in our states, that how we protect life. For example, obviously Roe versus Wade was overturned, and the Dobbs decision gave the decision making back to the state through their elected officials. But Congress and at the federal level, they can also still make decisions. It's not either or, federal or state. It's both. And one of the things that we really want to see is some national protection. Our Charlotte Lozier Institute, again, just today, it's been a busy day, released an updated report. We're just one in eight countries on the globe that don't have any sort of federal abortion limit up until birth. So that's why California and New York and all these other states can do abortions up until birth. But we at the federal level, we need that protection too, because unborn children and their mothers deserve those national protections too from the brutality of the abortion industry. So they're both true, and we're working at the national level on that. We certainly don't want to see the Democrats expand abortion or force taxpayer funding of abortion in health care plans and that sort of thing. They've even, it's hard to believe, they've even, on states that have limited abortions, they've tried to get abortions to be done at veterans hospitals because they're federally oriented hospitals. That's how hard President Biden and the Democratic Congress people are pushing to get abortion expanded in this country. So whether it's the federal level or whether it's at the state level, we work in lots of states. That's what I do. I do state policy and go to state legislatures and things like that, including Ohio, I might add. But that's what we're trying to do, is trying to work on the policy front, because pro-life people make pro-life laws and not pro-life people make not pro-life laws. And so that's the realm we're in our battle.
Okay, so when we look at this, obviously a divine law, God's law, calls it a murder. But and here, so this would be, like you said, a human's mm-hmm. rights issue, which should fall under federal protection. Now, the ACLU right now is pushing hard to try to, they want to legalize pedophilia. It's mm-hmm. really, this is insanity. And so they want to legalize pedophilia. They want to legalize prostitution. They want to make it just like, they want to have a Roe v. Wade of pedophilia and prostitution to make it mm-hmm. a federal, what they call, they want to declare it a constitutional right, like they've done, tried to do with abortion, okay?
Right, and so, right.
So if we don't, I mean, if we don't stop this, we're going to end up with... Mm-hmm. With the pedophilia, we're going to end up with, with legalized prostitution. I don't think there's any end there's no end to what the wicked want to do, is there?
Well, no, because you know who prowls this earth looking to seek and kill and destroy. So there's no end to what the evil one can do. I think that a good example in the abortion space, a good example of there's no end is, and I know this is a very, very painful topic for most recently Ohio, but Michigan and Kansas and Kentucky all and others have passed the constitutional amendments, or in the case of Kentucky, that they couldn't get it in there. And now it's being fought in Florida and Arizona and Missouri. They're going after these constitutions for abortion. And what we have found is once it gets passed, unfortunately, people kind of wake up to just how extreme they are. That when they voted yes, that's not what they meant. They didn't mean abortion up until birth. They didn't mean that boys or girls could get, quote, reproductive health care without parental consent. They didn't really mean all that, and they didn't really believe it. They thought the commercials were exaggerating or whatever, but it's true. And since Michigan did it last year, in 2022,
And so did Ohio, 2022.
And 2023.
Or 2023, right. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Issue one.
And in both states, then, in the next round of the legislature, when they make the laws, they started, especially in Michigan, started pulling down all of the health and safety regulations for women. They just threw women under the bus. You don't have to inspect clinics anymore. They had constitution. They got their abortions, but they don't want any inspecting the clinics to make sure they're clean, make sure women are getting the information they need. Reporting the statistical reporting, like how many abortions are done or how old, any of that sort of reporting where we get our research and our data, nothing. And they started tearing down all of the regulations that have been put in place. Abortion is only regulated by the state. It's not like a hospital or a doctor's office or something where there's some sort of national accreditation body and inspections and you get an A-plus rating or whatever. Abortion's not like that. It's on its own. It's a separate service that Planned Parenthood is a not-for-profit organization. And it's only through the state where they regulate that. So we're starting to see in Ohio where the Democrats in the House are trying to start to tear down parental consent and other types of they're trying to tear down the waiting period for women to make a decision and or giving her materials. You know, I got my knee replaced a while back. I got pages and pages of information about that I had to read about knee surgery and medicines they were going to give me and all that. And I mean, you get your appendix out, you get some information. In today's modern medical marketplace, you get information about something you're about to do, but they're trying to take that away now in Ohio so that women getting abortions don't have to get any information. And so you can see the result of what all that was a long way of saying. I apologize. You can see the result of these actions where they're trying to get it in the Constitution. Once they get it in the Constitution and it's quote unquote a right, well, then all the other bad stuff starts to happen.
I know that, but they can still, even though they can pass, the legislators can define what those rights are. We have legislators right now that are gearing up because mm-hmm. you're right, what's coming. Here's what happened in Ohio. We had, and we warned people. We were way out ahead. The Democrat, the communist, were telling their people to run as they were telling Democrats, and these are people that have voted for Biden, voted for Obama, to change, switch over in the primaries and run as Republicans, to run as Republicans. And they sent letters out to all the Democrats saying, vote for this person, switch in the primary. And so they elected what we call the Rhino 22 Blue, okay, here in Ohio. These are Democrats that ran and got elected as Republicans. And then they vote with the Democrats. And that's one of the problems that we're having here. But they're targeted now for November.
Sheep's clothing.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. It seems like there's nothing that the Democratic Communist Party won't do that's not illegal. I mean, there's nothing at all, no merit left at all. Everything that they do is criminal.
One of the things we're going across the country and as much media as we can do and want to make sure that everybody knows that their plan is if they stay in power and if they get Congress back, their plan is to wipe out all the state pro-life laws. And so that's why we also feel we need a federal protection. 46 out of 50 European countries have a limit of, where you can't have an abortion after 15 weeks, or that's when a baby feels pain, by the way. It's just barbaric. And we're only one of 15 countries that permit abortion after 15 weeks. And so whatever the week limit is or how far along in the pregnancy we can talk about that. Clearly, we don't want to have later term abortion where babies can feel pain, and we're doing that in America. We're only one of eight countries that do. So that's why if they wipe out if they get back in power and they wipe out all the state laws like we're talking about in Ohio's trying to, then we need that federal protection too. So we need both, and that's what we're doing. So saying that the issue is back to the states and everything's back to the states it feeds the national debate to the Democrats, who are working relentlessly to enact legislation to mandate abortion throughout all 9 months of pregnancy. So we're trying to put our finger in the dike, and both at the federal level and the state level, and we're also trying to help pro-life states move the ball forward and have more pro-life protections in their laws, because, you know, Roe versus Wade did go down, and the Dobbs decision did let states go back into their own state laws now and limit abortion, just like my state of Indiana did. But at the same time now, when we're starting to see states limit abortion, maybe not Ohio, but we're starting to see a lot of these states now. We have 18 states now across the country that protect babies with a heartbeat, thanks to Florida today going into effect. But we want to make sure that women do have, and you know as well as I do, that it's really been the pro-life movement all these years that's been supporting pregnancy centers, the work of women's care centers and maternity homes and all that sort of thing. So I don't want to leave this discussion just being political and stuff. I want to make sure we all know that as we have this debate over abortion and try to limit abortion in America, we also want to ramp up our support and our care for women who find themselves potentially making that decision. And we want to make sure she knows that those resources are available to her. And Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, is working with a number of governors across the country to help in their state show. And Governor DeWine and I, which is talking about Ohio, has done an incredible job talking about expanding services, helping the private sector support and love on women, give them what they need to be successful. So we're working with governors across the country. We're trying to get more attention and more funding for pregnancy care centers, and that women can get ultrasounds and diapers and counseling and support, even job training, car seats, baby clothes, you name it. And we have a rich history.
All righty, Sue, I got to tell you, because we're running out of time. But you, anytime you have an open invitation to come on this radio program, go coast to coast. Anytime you have an announcement, you need to get out something you guys are doing, like what you're doing now. You have an open invitation. Let me know. Tell the folks how
to have you tell women how they could get involved. We're always trying to tell the people how they can get involved in the battle. And you're doing state issues, so people from all women from all states can join and work part-time or help part-time?
30 seconds.
Yes, Susan B. Anthony, we pick our battleground states where we are going to be fighting those hard political fights, and we do hire folks to go knock on doors. In Ohio, we have what we call canvassers. We literally go door-to-door and talk to people about the abortion issue and expose the extreme positions of some of the existing elected officials and help people have a better understanding of how
they
might
vote for pro-life. Where can they go to reach you?
Oh, we go to our website is sbaprolife.org.
All right, Sue, thank you. Thank you for being here, but we're out of time for tonight. God bless you, and you keep fighting the fight. Be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries,
14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.